such a great start right there. A great music to a great big beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Nisha Raghavan, your host at A Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And my partners, Brian Wimpen and William Kinkup, are a little tied up today, so they may not be available, and I'm doing the solo with our wonderful guest, President and CEO of IMA, Jeff Thompson. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nisha. Glad to be here. And music was a little bit loud for me, but it was perfectly interesting and invigorating, inspiring to start your segment off.
I'm glad to hear that, and we are so honored to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, do our audience a favor. Would you please introduce yourself so that our audience can know a little bit more about you?
Sure. I'm, again, Jeff Thompson, President and CEO of the IMA, the Institute of Management Accountants. We're a global membership organization focused on the accountancy and finance profession, which I'm sure we'll talk more about in the segment. I've worked as a CFO or chief financial officer at a large telecommunications company and elsewhere, some background in academia, and have been here at the IMA as a non-for-profit organization for the last 8 years, including 5 years as the CEO of the organization.
Well, that's interesting. And we haven't had that many people, you know, talking about accounting and finance professionals and then that particular industry so far. So I'm so curious to know, what's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, what kept me up last night were my three dogs who wanted to go out in the middle of the night, but your audience probably is not very interested in that. I'll deal with that myself. But in all seriousness, what keeps me up at night in this area is the talent gap in accounting and finance. And at a really high level, and then we could probe on it more, but a really high level, what that means is that accounting and finance professionals have significant roles in companies of all sizes, all structure, anywhere in the world. In both preserving and protecting value and also in driving future value for enterprises. And so the talent gap simply says that the skill sets that we need to accomplish these two very, very critical roles, the skill sets are lacking or in need of filling for various reasons.
Well, I'm so curious to know what are some reasons. Why is it so difficult to find these accounting or finance pros, and what we can do to fix this skills gap?
Sure, Nisha, that's a great question. So just some data from the HR community. For the third year in a row, the accountant, which is sort of loosely defined, but the accountant in industry is one of the manpower groups 10 most difficult positions for employers to fill, among other, you know, other types of positions, due to either lack of available talent and or talent with the right skills. So, and this is pretty consistent, whether it's the manpower group or others that confirm this talent gap. And the reason is that the role of the chief financial officer and his or her team has evolved over the last decade plus, to one which is much more broad-based and much more strategic than counting the numbers and making sure that the financial statements have integrity. That is certainly a minimum expectation of today's CFO and accountant in industry, but the minimum expectation goes well beyond the value preservation and value protection to helping drive the organization forward strategically in great new products and services that will help enhance missions and societal benefits.
That's great. So, in very particularly, I want to hear your takes on what can CFOs do, you know, to help address this issue and fix it?
So, and that really is the challenge, right? What is the solution? And it's probably more than just employers, Nisha, CFOs, and other C-suite executives. It really is a whole bunch of stakeholders who come together. First, there has to be a recognition that this is a problem, that this that there is a challenge here. And I think that there generally is agreement, certainly within the CFO community, but we also need other types of employers, you know, those in the C-suite. We need academia to be on board. We need HR professionals to be on board, and we need professional associations like ourselves to be on board. I think we would all agree that, you know, today's CFO team and finance and accounting professionals have a role in both value protection and value creation, and therefore we need to step up our game. The question is, what do you do about it? But it first starts with a recognition and then a dialogue that we need to figure out ways to solve the problem. Certainly one way that we've been very active with at the Institute of Management Accountants is in curriculum reform. So today's curriculum, and this is just one example of a pathway to a solution and to dialogue, today's undergraduate accounting curriculum is very much skewed toward audit and compliance, historical types of activities, which are critically important to appropriately state the financial position of an enterprise, but is lacking in terms of the going forward leadership, governance, and strategic thinking skills. So one of the solutions is to create a more balanced curriculum at the undergraduate accounting level so that when students come out of their accounting programs and perhaps even go into the audit track in a Big Four accounting firm, they find their way into companies much better prepared to do the broad-based strategic skills that are required of today's CFO and today's CFO team.
That's really an interesting point, Jeff. And I can really correlate with this. There is their own perception that it's happening, like management accountants. They're actually limited to working with numbers and money. So there is this perception that's happening in the workforce, right? But when it comes to employee morale and community or any kind of a non-monetary, you know, analysis or reporting, they're missing the mark. Do you think so?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, although we're referred to as management accountants and, you know, we kind of start and end with the numbers, so to speak, in order to be a strong CFO, a strong accountant, a strong finance team professional in business, you have to understand the non-quantitative aspects of the business. You have to understand how value flows. You have to understand how operations serves customers or members in a non-for-profit. You really need to understand the lifeblood of how the enterprise operates in delivering sustainable value for stakeholders, whether they're customers or shareholders. And if you're able to understand sort of the guts and the DNA of the business, you are in a much, much better position to be that CFO, that finance team professional who, as I said earlier, both helps to protect value for investors but also helps to create new value for shareholders and various other kinds of stakeholders. You know, the minimum expectation, as I alluded to earlier, Nisha, for today's CFO, accounting, finance team professional, is the value protection, value preservation. Where we need to up our game in the competency set is in the cross-functional leadership and help to guide the business through turbulence, through tough economic times, through innovation initiatives, and more.
Yeah, that's true. And as you said, that value protection and value preservation is such a critical task when it comes to involving the CFOs to help bridge that gap and elevating the employer brand, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one sort of statistic that I didn't mention that I think is very compelling for you and the audience is when you think about undergraduate accounting and the pathways that students take, a majority of students will go the audit track, which is a great way to start your career in finance and accounting. And what the audit track means is that you might work for Deloitte or PricewaterhouseCoopers or a regional accounting firm doing audits. And that's, again, a wonderful way to start your career in accounting and finance. It's a way to learn about a particular industry and how it generates value. But the statistics are that a majority of undergraduate accounting students, something like 70% of them, within 3 to 4 years of their first assignment in audit, within that 3 to 4 years will find their way into a company doing management accounting, corporate finance type of work. And that's our concern. That's what keeps us up at night in terms of making sure that the supply of talent coming into companies, employers, is adequate to meet the challenges at hand. Curriculum is one way to address it. Professional certifications are another way.
Well, actually, I can relate to this because back in, let's just say, before 9 years ago, when I was doing my undergrad, I started my career as a commerce student. And then I thought, like, okay, let's go do the CA, chartered accountant, or MBA in finance or so, and then go into, you know, audit. That's the regular platform or regular vision of a graduate or undergraduate or a student, let's just say. But things have been evolved right now, and then we wanted that candidate to step up and take those initiations to really create an impact on the employer, right? So what gap still exists? What do you see? What kind of a gap still exists from that educator, what that educator teach, and what a CFO or what a finance or accounting professional really requires in their day-to-day job?
So the question is what gaps still exist, and
yeah.
and in terms of day to day types of activities, right? So
in terms of I wanted to compare what educators are teaching, and then what we really want from a candidate.
Right, and that's you hit the nail on the head, so to speak. So the skills that are, you know, that are taught in sufficient detail are those that I alluded to earlier: audit, tax, compliance, rules on financial reporting like U.S. GAAP or Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, IFRS, which is International Financial Reporting Standards. So all of the areas that deal with rules and standards and historical perspectives are taught more than adequately. And by the way, it's not to diminish the weighting of focus at the undergraduate accounting curriculum. It's just to say that there needs to be more balance. So when you go to the other side of the equation in terms of what is not taught as deeply or regularly as what I just mentioned, it's what I would call some of the forward-looking decision support types of skills. And certainly the soft skills like leadership and influencing come into play, but also governance, M&A, merger and acquisition activity, predictive analytics, you know, helping to predict the future, risk management, financial planning and analysis. So everything that I've just rattled off, which is underweighted in curriculum, tends to be the more judgment-based, the more types of skill sets that require a mix of art and science, if you will, judgment, insight, converting information into insight, converting data into decisions, et cetera, et cetera. So what we believe is we need to create a dialogue amongst all stakeholders to create this broader focus, because in reality, when you become a CFO or a controller or someone, you know, as you move up the rank, so to speak, you need to have these broad-based set of skills, because that's what companies and society is demanding.
Great. Well, I'm going to do a quick quiz with everybody. You're listening to Drive Through HR with our wonderful guest, Jeff Johnson, who's the president and CEO of IME. We're talking about the skills gap of accounting and financial professionals in the industry. So as you talked about some of the courses that in the initial level the candidates or the accounting or finance professionals can pursue, so which one would be, you know, you think as the most important area in accounting and finance field?
Oh boy, you asked the tough questions, huh? Like 60 minutes here. So the, you know, the my top list, and I mentioned I managed to slip in there soft skills, so, you know, leadership and influencing skills. Now, I've progressed through the ranks inside and outside of CFO. So, you know, obviously on the job experience and mentoring and, you know, evolving are all very, very important. You know, leadership and influence can't be taught, but it is a body of knowledge. I mean, there's incredible amount of resources and opportunities to grow with leadership development and, you know, influencing. So, you know, I would argue that kind of, you know, education, whether it starts early on at the undergraduate accounting level, is one that is so, so important. Governance is incredibly important. How is the organization structured to make decisions? How is the organization both being agile to meet market needs, but at the same time producing high-quality products? What is the decision-making mechanisms? And then right after those two broader areas are the whole areas of strategic planning. You know, two decades ago, for the most part, the CFO, the finance team, accounting professional was really not at the strategy table, or if they were, they were brought in last minute. Hey, we need a business case done. We need you to run some financial cash flows. We've already made this decision, and we want you to justify it, which is not the way it's supposed to work. So I know even when I was a CFO, which is, you know, going back 10 years, I was brought in early. My team, we were brought in early. Hey, we're just in the beginning stages of conceiving this great new product or service that'll change the world, you know, enrich our investors, enrich our society, et cetera, and we want you to help us think this through as a decision maker at the strategy table. And with that reality and with that challenge, I'm sorry, with that opportunity comes the challenge to have the competencies, to have the conversation, to add the analytical and judgmental insight to advance the organization. So if I had to pick a top three, it would be, you know, leadership and influencing, number one, governance, number two, and then a whole range of strategic formulation and strategic execution capabilities that the CFO team brings to the table.
So if you look at the candidate availability and the talent gap, which field are you highlighting it? You might have connected with your a lot of employers, working with a lot of employers, so you know which field they're finding it difficult in terms of finding the talent. Is it leadership role or middle level role? Which role are they finding it difficult?
Well, I think it runs the gamut. You know, some of these jobs, like in the manpower survey, when they talked about the 10 most difficult positions, you know, it really does tend to run the gamut, and it's all mutually dependent. So, you know, if you're having trouble filling positions at the analyst level, the manager level, and ultimately some of these analysts and managers are going to become future controllers and future treasurers and future chief financial officers, because there's mutual dependency, it really is an effect across the entire spectrum. You know, the CFO position itself, you know, when you look at the retention rates and the attrition rates and the turnover rates, it's sometimes not a real positive story. When you add on top of that the role of the chief operating officer, the COO, over the last decade has diminished over time, meaning that there are fewer and fewer COOs because that position is in many cases being absorbed into the CFO position. So it really is a challenge that, you know, maybe is a bit more weighted on the upper end of the spectrum of positions, but because of the mutual dependency along the career path is one that really affects the entire pathways to leadership positions.
You know, I'm going to ask a question. This has been a controversy question that been there for a longer period of time. I'm really curious to know your answer. Well, HR, who should HR report to? Is it to CEOs or CFOs?
You know, that's a really, I'll start by saying a really good question. And, you know, the answer kind of lies in the end in mind. And, you know, the reporting relationship is a governance question that, you know, probably is best suited to, you know, for the unique circumstances of the company, its size, its culture. My main concern about the role of HR and CFO is they are partners in addressing this talent gap. So, for example, in the large telecommunications company that I worked in for over 23 years, we had a dual reporting relationship, and people don't like dual reporting relationships because it's complicated and it means two appraisals and two bosses, but as business has become more global and more cross-functional and cross-border, we need to react inside organizations and unsilo the organization. I'm not saying that dual reporting is the answer. Again, it's somewhat unique to the organization's culture and decision-making. But at least for a good period of time in our company, we had now this has to be a large enough company, of course, for critical mass, but our HR professional had a dual reporting relationship into HR for, you know, best practices and keeping current with HR as a profession, but they also had a reporting relationship into CFO, so that this way they had skin in the game, their success was at stake if the talent gap perpetuated or widened, or on the other hand, they're part of the success if we're able to place you know, retain and nurture and grow finance team professionals. So the main point is whatever governance that works for your organization, there has to be skin in the game and dual or mutual accountability. It can't be, you know, the CFO team saying, well, it's HR, they weren't able to get us the right skill sets, and or the HR person saying, well, it's the CFO team, you didn't describe this job in a way that makes sense, that truly reflects the skills that are needed. It has to be, you know, mutual dependency, mutual success, mutual reward.
Awesome. And I know you have been with IMA for a longer period of time. So I really wanted to know what's the difference between working in a corporate America and then in a nonprofit organization from a CFO perspective.
Well, you know, it's interesting how similar working for a for-profit and a non-for-profit are. I believe there's more similarities than there are differences, whether it's CFO or C-suite professional. You know, and remember, I didn't come from a quiet industry. I came from what I like to refer to as sometimes a cutthroat competitive environment in telecommunications, sometimes irrational, in fact. And so the biggest, the greatest similarities are from a business perspective, if you're not articulating and delivering value to some stakeholder group, you're not going to be in business. In fact, you have probably no right to be in business. And that is true whether you're a for-profit with shareholders who invest in your company and you may or may not pay them dividends. But it's equally true for a non-for-profit, whether it's a membership association or a trade group. You have to be delivering value to some stakeholder group on a sustainable basis. And therefore, you have to have all of the elements of understanding your markets, understanding their needs and wants, understanding how you can deliver those needs and wants. And the same is true for the CFO team. Everything I've just articulated equally applies in for-profit as non-for-profit in terms of leadership, influencing, cost management, merger and acquisition, et cetera.
Great. Well, I have a quick question. We have about 3 minutes left right now. What is that one single piece of advice that you wanted to give it to the HR professionals to find and engage their accounting and finance professionals, finance candidates?
Yeah, and as always, I might try to slip in my top two. and I'll be quick. I think, number one is, as we alluded to earlier, the partnership aspect. Inside an organization of any size, any structure, anywhere, it really is critically important to have one face to the outside. If it's addressing the talent gap or needs of society or needs of shareholders, there is so much opportunity for the HR team and the finance accounting team to partner together on a whole range of initiatives. I think it might be trite, but, it's people that drive our success. It's not machines, it's people. And so whether it's recruitment, retention, nurturing, growing, invigorating, it really has to be a joint effort between the HR professionals and the finance team. And then the second bit of advice is it's really important for HR and finance and others to think about differentiation. When you think about all of the industries that we do business in, commoditization is becoming a big issue. Everything is looking the same. The products and services are looking the same. It's easy to replicate and duplicate what your competitor has done. And the same is true at the talent level. So it's really, really important to differentiate your organization and create uniqueness. And that also applies at the individual level. So our advice is to learn a whole lot about the profession. The more certifications, the better. It's not just one certification or one MBA, but the more you can do in that area to differentiate yourself. And, of course, we offer the CMA, the Certified Management Accountant Certification, that we're very proud of. But we're a big promoter of differentiation through certification and education.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for joining with us today and spending our lunchtime conversation. And we learned a lot. And there is so much to learn from me, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Nisha. And if you or your audience would like to learn more about IMA, you can find us very easily at www.imanet.org. And we're Facebook, we're Twitter, we're all the social media that you'd expect of a professional global organization.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, and it's been such an amazing show. Stay tuned, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.